Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. I want to encourage you to get your Bible, get a notepad, and get a pen if you're able. Call a friend, call a neighbor, because we're going to cover a lot of scripture. And we're going to go take you now into a message already in progress entitled, Divine Elements of Change. Let's go now into the Word of God.
Now, the church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of truth. We don't deal with nothing but truth in here. That's why my life on the line for truth. If I got a lie and I find out about it, I'm going to repent. We are not going to deal in lies. We're dealing only in truth, because that's what God's house is. It's the pillar and the ground of truth. We're not about politics. We're not about the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're all about truth. That's what we're about, because truth makes people free. Okay, so that's the, you got to have the next element of change in place, which is the house of God, the pillar and ground of truth. Okay, let's look at another one. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Here is how you tell the assembly that you're in is indeed a biblical household of God. Because you're sitting in a church that looks nice, smell nice, bunch of nice cars outside, that don't mean that is a divine element of change. Because they got folks go to church for years and nobody changed. They got so much gossip in the church, so much mess going on in the church, so much stuff. There ain't nobody changing there. But when you got a real household of God, it don't matter how small it is or how big it is. Here are some elements that have to be in place if people's lives expect to change and get ready to meet God. These elements got to be in place. You can go to anybody's church, go to any denomination, go to any organization, go anywhere. This is what you look for. And if you don't find this in one way or the other, that's a building with a group of people, and some of them may truly be saved. Because he said, whoever call on me, you can be in the nightclub and call on the Lord. He'll save you right there. You can call on him in your bathroom. He'll save you right there. Driving down the road, he'll save you right there. But he didn't establish the nightclub, okay? So a lot of these people are saved. Some of the preachers are saved, too. They're saved. But if that house is not established according to this Bible, that is not an element of change there. And people are set there for years and never be challenged to change. And then when it's time for God to call their number, they won't be ready. And God got us all on a program transforming us into what we need to be for that day when we walk in there and meet him. He's going to be faithful to do that. So this is what you got to look for. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, all saints, and of the household of God. We just looked at one scripture, talked about the household of God, which is the pillar and the ground of truth, and our behavior in that house matters, because God won't change you. He'll come in a service. He got all of us on a schedule, and that particular day, he got you scheduled to be touched in a certain area. Because he know how many more days you have. He got you scheduled to be touched. But if you come in the house and your behavior is not right, the Holy Ghost will lift. I'm telling y'all the truth now. This is not some, look, this is the fact. And when people's behavior is not right, and their motives are not right, the Holy Spirit just lifts. He's a gentleman. And he's just not there. He won't. That's a day you done missed. So he said, you are the household of God. Now watch this. All households of God, all of them, if these elements not in place, I'm sorry, that is not an element of change. Do you know how many thousands of people sitting in churches this morning that look pretty, but it's not an element of change? And those people are frustrated, and they'll stay frustrated. Now the Spirit of God will come in there, and the people will feel the Spirit of God, but they'll feel his presence, but he ain't changing nothing in their lives. Because these elements are not in place. Here's the elements, and built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You're going to have an apostle and a prophet in the house. I don't care if and don't go on people who got apostle in front of their name. The only reason I put it in front of my name is I told people, just call me Brother Curtis. I like Brother Curtis. When we was in the home teaching the Bible, then I don't know if y'all remember, but we went to a service that Sunday, and the subject was God gonna change your name. And the lady taught about how God changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham, and she taught the importance of wearing the name for purpose, not the name for glamour or glory. And I said, yes, Lord, I understand. And that was the only reason why I started to address myself as Apostle Lewis, because he said, if you're going to teach divine order, you have to be an example of it. But I like Brother Curtis. Yeah. I've always liked that. Okay. But I said that to say this. I don't teach this because apostle is in front of my name. We are not talking about people with apostle over their church. You see, y'all got to understand now, because you can see a lot of people calling themselves apostles. But in the book of Revelation, it says you've tested and tried those who say they was apostles and found them liars. And I honestly have found a lot of liars. When God was training me and I work with all these organizations, I found a lot of liars. And some of them were right in town, and I wrote them. I did. I wrote them and I told them, you got a money-making scheme. And I don't see your organization in the Bible. And I used to be a part of the organization, paying $600 a year. Every apostle had to pay $600 a year. Now this organization wanted every church that was a part of the organization to take tithe and offering off of the top of their tithe and offering of the local church and pay to this organization, on top of the apostle himself paying $600 a year. And if the apostle got a pastor, got leaders in the church, for a pastor, they want $400. I'm telling y'all the truth. And God had me, I was being trained for years and didn't know I was being trained. I went through all of these organizations. I worked with all these people. And I was respectful when I was there. But everybody thought, he's just so humble. He's so nice. And I am nice. Jessica, I'm nice. But there's a tiger down inside too. Yeah, and they if you're a teacher in the church, however many teachers you have, you got 10 teachers, the teachers got to pay $300 each. Now, how many of y'all know that ain't God? That's our organization trying to make money, and I just told them, I said, you're really an apostle. Y'all need to get off of that. That's foolish. But I didn't know it when I was in it because I had to learn. Okay? So I want you to get this straight here. But erase all the titles, all the names. There got to be somebody in that place that was called and sent by God. And if the person, big church, small church, house group, don't matter. Because there are house churches that God will change people's in a house. Okay? Somebody got to be sent by God to establish that work. And if you don't have someone that was sent by God, nobody being changed. Yeah. You may have good church services. You may have some good songs go forth. You may like the company of the people. You may like the social atmosphere. But there are no elements of divine change unless somebody was truly sent. And the one that was sent is called apostle. That's all apostle means. They sent by God. And usually whoever that sent one is, they have someone to confirm what God is saying to them. That happened to be my wife here. She said, if you guys only knew. And in some cases, it's not a husband and wife. It may be the sent one and his assistant one, or somebody may be sitting in the pew. That's the prophet. Here we happen to have several prophets. And we have other people that can teach in gifts and evangelistic gifts. I mean, we got more ministers sitting right here in this little congregation. It would blow your mind. And some of y'all haven't really heard them teach under the anointing yet. I've heard them. Because we used to make sure we schedule somebody every Sunday, didn't we? We stopped scheduling them because I said, okay, now if you want to preach, then you just submit it. But we used to schedule them to minister here. And I done heard them all. And whenever you got a true sent person, that sent person going to have a prophet somewhere to confirm what's being heard, because nobody left alone in this thing. And then from those two gifts other ministry gifts just going to come into place. That's a true house of God. If you don't have that, there is no divine element of change in that place. So it's foundation of the, because the household of God is always apostle and prophets. Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Then in whom the whole building, that whole building is fitly framed together. I promise you, if you don't have these offices, that building is out of frame. That church is out of frame. That church cannot produce divine change in your life. Now, people sit in churches and feeling this, but they don't know what it is. Elder, you said Thursday, I just now realized why I sat in that church so long and would never change. They frustrated, but they don't know why they frustrated. This is why. Okay? Now, a confirming verse, because see, scripture interprets scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let me see it. I got that here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Okay. All right. Watch this. Here, scripture interpret scripture. Whenever some preachers say this is what the Bible said, show me scripture. Show me more scripture to validate that and verify that. And if a preacher can't, then don't accept that as truth until they can prove it. Because if they can't prove it by the Bible, that's just their opinion of what the Bible say. So let me confirm what I just taught in the prophet and the apostle. Well, before we read this, Sister Garden, can you find Ephesians 3 and verse 5? Read that for me. Y'all listen to this, because I'll give you a lot of scripture. Because these divine elements have to be in place, or there will be no divine change taking place in your life. You can come to church and get emotionally thrilled, but just because you got it emotionally enjoyed a service, don't mean the Holy Spirit touched you that day with the change that he had you scheduled for. I ain't got no time to waste. I need him to touch me every time he show up. Amen. Come on. Ephesians 3 and verse. Now watch these two offices, apostle, prophet. If you lacking these in a church, any church you go to, you ought to ask, where's the apostle and where's the prophet? Who operating in this gift and who's operating this gift? If you can't see that somewhere in that church or see a local church that's connected with that, you need to run. Because that is not God's house. All through the Bible, God's house is built only in one way. Now find a house that's not built biblically, and you'll find a house that God didn't ordain. If you believe the Bible, come on.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men.
Back up and read the verse before that so I can get a complete thought.
Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
Paul said, when you read this letter, you'll understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Christ is a mystery. And he got certain gifts set up in the church to unveil the mystery. See? And so many times when I'm teaching, I'm taking my time teaching and God's unveiling the mystery, because he don't want it to be a mystery to you, but it is a mystery because some things you can't understand without these particular gifts that's set up in his house to be a divine element of change. And so Paul said, when you read, you just reading it, you may not understand, but Paul said, I'm praying that when you read it, you'll understand my knowledge in this mystery. Go ahead.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men.
Okay, now Paul we know was an apostle. You got to have an apostle first. Paul said, this mystery in other ages was not known. Prophets of the Old Testament didn't know this. All those holy prophets that prophesied the future, the coming of the Lord, even Moses, there were some things was not revealed to them, and it wasn't revealed until God set his house up on the earth, apostle, prophet. Until he set these two gifts in the house, some things about God was never known. That's what this man, read it now, and that's what he's talking about. Go here.
As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets.
Revealed to who?
His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
Nisha, put that other scripture up. Well, no, you can leave this one up. Okay, read it one more time. I'll make a point. Y'all look at me. Look at my little laser light while she read that.
You may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known.
Nobody
unto the sons
knew
of men,
none of this. Come on.
As it is now revealed.
It's revealed to?
Unto his holy apostles.
Who? Everybody. Apostles, everybody together.
Apostles.
Come on.
And prophets.
And prophets.
By the Spirit.
By the Spirit. Why isn't the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher not up there? Because these are the first two gifts that have to be in any house before the mystery of divine change can be realized. So why would God call an evangelist to lead the church? You don't find that nowhere in the Bible. He called an evangelist to win souls. That's why their ministry looks so big and vast, because God will honor the gift. Their gift will their talent and gift will draw a crowd. And because they got a big crowd, they think God's with me. Michael Jackson drew a crowd. James Brown drew a crowd. So just because you got a crowd don't mean God talking through you. If you're an evangelist, note only one, is the word evangelist is mentioned three times in the Bible. We're in class today, and I'm just about finished with the class. The word evangelist is mentioned three times in the Bible, and there's only one example of an evangelist, and his name was Philip. Philip in Acts chapter 8 went down to the city of Samaria and warned the whole city. And watch this. When he warned the whole city, none of them was born again. None of the Bible said that when the apostles came, that the people had just believed. An evangelist can only bring you to believing. What is this man in town teaching? Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. That's the evangelist's gift. He can't take the people no further than believe it. So y'all see the gift working, but it only works and stop right here. He can't go no further. They stuck right here. You got to have this right here in place. These two right here got to be in place. Do you know every evangelist need an apostle and prophet? Do you know every teacher need an apostle and prophet? Do you know every pastor? The church is not pastoral. The church is apostolic. Those two gifts. You got the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But these two gifts are the ones. Now, I didn't write the Bible. I just teach it. And I didn't set the church up. I just teach the revelation of how the church is set up. These two gifts right here. The thumb represents the apostle. The finger represents the prophet. The big finger represents the evangelist, because it's the biggest thing up there. Loudest mouth, too. We looking at it. So that's why an apostle guy, I'm going to keep my eyes on y'all. I'm going to write you every time you say something stupid. Because they got somebody in this town been sent by God to be a thorn in your flesh. And I don't care how big your ministry is. That's an evangelist. This the pastor. Notice that the ring finger. Pastors are married to the sheep. Now don't get me wrong, apostles are the first shepherds in the church. But then they have others. This man here got a shepherd's heart. If y'all get around him, he'll take what I said and he'll shepherd it down. Now, what the problem with most shepherds, he don't have this problem, but I done raised a lot of preachers. The problem I have with most preachers I've raised, when they shepherding, they shepherd all the way down and get you in sin. Oh, you know, pastor don't understand. If you ain't got no apostle, that shepherd ain't worth a nickel. I got one in Texas, Will Brocker. He started to follow. I used to go to Texas, and I didn't know why. We used to have these meetings at IHOP, and I would be confronting things, and I didn't know why. I didn't know he had fell in love with Womack. And I looked him in the eye and said, that gospel ain't of God. That's a false gospel, but he wanted to follow that stuff. Now, I rebuked him. Because shepherds more prone to give it in, you know, because they like to pet. Oh, it's all right. It's all right. It ain't all right if you're going to hell. That's why you got to have apostle and prophet. To keep the shepherds right. To keep the evangelists right. To keep the teachers right. And that's why they don't. And you know, one thing they said the other day that's true. Usually when you got a true. They said this. The ministry. Jimmy Swaggart. I ain't scared. They said this. They said usually when it's a true apostle. They believe in apostles and prophets. They didn't used to. They used to teach against them. But now they at least admit, When there's a true apostle and a true prophet around, they're not in the media. They're not obvious. They're normally hidden in little small places. Thank you. Go read your email. They said that. I promise you, they judging. They're being judged by their own words. And I got my eyes on you. Because this book is what I defend. And you teaching it wrong. I got lost. I feel that the zeal of his house has eaten me up. Jesus had zeal. Y'all hear my zeal when I'm preaching. He said he walked in the temple and they were selling everything. The Bible said his zeal ate him up. He got a whip and whipped them all out the temple. And right now I'm on these radio stations whipping them out the temple. Why y'all selling the word of God? Your ministry will go bankrupt if you stop selling. Reasons why the cross don't work. Done sold millions. He said this. We done sold millions of copies. And it's $50, $40. And then they got a little line. Slash. We made it affordable. $20. They're going to sell a million more for $20. Just give them the book. Yes, sir. If it's the truth. Yes, sir. It's a joke. It's a joke. Why you selling it? You don't find it in the Bible. Paul said that here's my joy, that I may make the gospel of no charge. That's what Paul said. So why preachers charging? Take your books and tapes and take them off the shelf. If you don't, you can tell me all you want. Well, we just supporting missions. You lying. Jesus ain't supporting no missions that way, and no, none of those apostles did. In fact, y'all got me started. That's the zeal of his house eating me up. And I'm preaching to thousands now. Y'all just listening. But I find not only did the apostles didn't sell the gospel, they cursed those who tried to buy it. When they went down to the city of Samaria and established that church after Philip got through preaching, Simon also believed and he saw through the laying on of hand of these apostles, the Holy Spirit was given to people. Simon said, let me give y'all money. I want this, because he wanted to control the people. Yeah. Peter said, your money, you're going to die with your money. Not only did they not sell it, they wouldn't allow it to be bought. Now that's what I see in the gospel. Let me get back to my soul. Where was I, Lord? Evangelist, only one example of an evangelist. And the evangelist went to the city, warn everybody, signs and wonders. He could only bring the people to believe. The apostles had to come and establish the church. It's in your Bible. You got to have first apostles, secondary prophets. If you don't have those two elements, you don't have an agent to change people's lives. Those people will stay stuck in sin the rest of their life with no hope of ever getting out. Here it is right here. And God has set some in the church. In what? Church. You know what a real church is? Right here, set in this order. If you don't see this in that church, or you don't see that church connected with this, that is not an element of change. According to the Bible. Read the Bible. I'm just giving you a few verses. It's all over the Bible. So he said, and God has set some in the church. First, he giving you the order. In Ephesians 4 verse 11, he give you all five. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. Right here, he give you the order of those five. How those five supposed to flow inside of order. And if they get out of order, they're going to have the body confused and out of order. Whenever you got an evangelist trying to lead the whole church and trying to be the man, he's going to have people's lives messed up. That evangelist got to be in order. This pastor is a lover of people. Don't mean the apostle don't love people, but the apostle love you so much that he'll get on you to keep you from going to hell. The pastor love you so much that they'll let you sin. And the smallest thing up there is the teacher. This apostle can touch every office because he can function in all five. Notice this prophet can't touch every office easy. Notice neither one of them can touch everyone easy. This right here, it can touch every office easy. You see? God made the body to reveal the truth. And the prophet, he can point the way in this truth. My wife can sit. You sit and talk to her. She can unveil and reveal everything that I'm teaching and preaching. When I get a revelation, I come show it to her. Some of the sisters were back there a while ago. When I see stuff in the Word, I bring it to her. She see it. If she ever don't see it, I said, let me go back and make sure I heard God. That's safe. That's safe. Apostle, prophet. That's safe. It's safe for the people. Okay? So, I didn't mean to spend as much time, but it's good to understand this in school. You know how many people in church don't understand this? And there is no divine element of change in their life. And Jesus, God ready to meet with them. They can't meet with God because they ain't being changed. Okay. Secondary prophet, thirdly, teaches. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, governments. Got the bishops. Bishops operating this right here. Bishops weighed on here. And right now we got bishops running the church. That is out of order. That is out of order. Then the deacons got the nerve to run the church. Hiring 5 preachers. Now, you know that's out of order. How folks going to be changed in that church? Okay, now, look at the other one before we get out of this. Go to our last point. Verse 18. Now, watch this. Now hath who? Everybody together. Come on, read it. Everybody together. Read that again.
As it had pleased him.
One more time.
As it
had pleased him. How, if it pleased you to set a church up and put bishops over that, how are you going to please God when this is what pleased him? When the way he set it up pleased himself. So how are you going to get smarter than God? You're going to set you up a church and now put the bishops over the church, put the evangelist, you're an evangelist, you're going to make yourself the head of the church and ain't in submission to the order of God. You just set yourself up in the people's lives, and now you got all of them destined to go to hell. Because God set the members in the church as it pleased him. And we just saw what pleased him, first apostle, secondary prophet, thirdly teachers. So if you see a house and this is not the order in that house cannot bring divine change. Y'all learned something?
Yes.
Last point. The third element of change is cooperation with the Heavenly Father in the process. The third point is the third element of divine change is cooperation with the Heavenly Father in this process. Don't let nobody tell you, since you got it for free. This definition has deceived more people than a little bit. God's unmerited favor. That don't fit in all scriptures. I don't have time to develop that. That definition of grace got more people fooled. Because really, when I went and looked, the first definition I found was grace is God's divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Now, that can be scripturally proven throughout the whole Bible. But that unmerited favor cannot be proven in all scriptures. And I can prove that to you. Just don't have time.
Well, praise the Lord. We're just about out of time, so we're going to have to come to a close. But I want to give you our website that you can go to at any time you like for more free teaching. The website is www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. And you'll find that there's never a charge on our teaching. If you want to call us, you can call us at 225-272-6647. That's 225-272-6647. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis saying we love you. We thank God for you. And remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.